This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 57 of Surah Zukhruf, page number 666 of the Noble Quran, and page number 491 of the Sahih International Translation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولما ضرب ابن مريم مثلا إذا قومك منه يصدون وقالوا أآلهتنا خير أم هو ما ضربوه لك إلا جدلا بل هم قوم خصمون إن هو إلا عبد أنعمنا عليه وجعلناه مثلا لبني إسرائيل ولو نشاء لجعلنا منكم ملائكة في الأرض يخلفون وإنه لعلم للساعة فلا تمترن بها واتبعون هذا صراط مستقيم ولا يصدنكم الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين ولما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لكم بعض الذي تختلفون فيه فاتقوا الله وأطيعون إن الله هو ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم فاختلف الأحزاب من بينهم فويل للذين ظلموا من عذاب يوم أليم هل ينظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين يا عبادي لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون الذين آمنوا بآياتنا وكانوا مسلمين ادخلوا الجنة أنتم وأزواجكم تحبرون يطاف عليهم بصحاف من ذهب وأكواب وفيها ما تشتهيه الأنفس وتلذ الأعين وأنتم فيها خالدون وتلك الجنة التي أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون لكم فيها فاكهة كثيرة منها تأكلون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. May Allah bless them all and bless us all. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, the verses I commenced with are connected to the Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him, or Isa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses makes it quite clear that he will be coming back. Isa alayhi salam is a sign of the hour, which means he will come back to the earth closer to the hour or close to Qiyamah. And if we take a look at the meanings of verse number 57, Allah says, and when the son of Maryam, meaning when Jesus, may peace be upon him, is quoted as an example, when Jesus, may peace be upon him, is quoted as an example, where Isa alayhi salam is worshipped like their idols, behold, your people cry aloud, or they laugh out at that example. So when people say that Isa alayhi salatu wassalam is being worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you find the kuffar of Quraysh, they laughed and they scoffed. And what did they say? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, they said, are our gods better or is he better? What this means is, what are we doing? We are also worshipping besides Allah. What are they doing? They are also worshipping besides Allah. So this verse is evidence that those who are worshipping Jesus, may peace be upon him, are actually engaging in association of partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like those who are worshipping any other of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the common factor being they are worshipping the created and not the creator. And this is something that is quite clear in these verses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are saying, what is the difference between us or between our gods and he? They did not present, meaning the comparison, except for mere argument. This was just as an argument, a baseless argument. You cannot compare your sin to the sin of others. If you are stealing, you cannot say, well, I'm stealing, so what's the difference between me and the other one who's stealing? Because you are both doing wrong. You are both engaged in unacceptable activity. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلًا. They are only presenting this argument in order to debate, in order to argue, that's all. But in fact, they are people prone to dispute. بَلْهُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ. They are not interested in the truth. They are interested in argument and debate. You know, certain people, no matter how clear the truth is for them, they don't want to accept the truth. They just want to argue and debate in order to prove a point and to try and make sure that they are always correct and the others are always wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us from this. And Allah says, these people are khasimun. They are full of debating, dispute. They love to dispute. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us through these verses regarding their particular qualities or what their qualities were. And the idea is for us to take heed, for us to understand, and for us to actually learn lessons. And we should not be engaging in that type of behavior. Let's not be from those who dispute when the truth comes to us. Let's also not be from those who try to justify our bad because of other people doing the same thing. Sometimes a person does bad and their parents or someone else in authority or a friend or an acquaintance or an imam happens to remind them and they snap back immediately saying, well, that person is doing it. You know, if you say, I'm going to give you a typical example with my own kids. If you tell them, well, why are you so long on your iPad? You know, they'll tell you, well, he is doing it, you know, referring to the brother. Well, it's true that parents have to be just, but the point being raised here is, you cannot justify your behavior based on how someone else is behaving. It has to be justified upon what is correct, and it must be away from that which is wrong. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding and warning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا عَبْدٌ أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ. Who is Jesus? May peace be upon him. He, Jesus, was not more than a slave whom we granted our favor to. So he was a slave of ours. He worshipped us and we favored him. We raised him above the others. We raised him above those of his time. And we raised him very high. We gave him the honor. We gave him miracles. We gave him so much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear in other places in the Quran that Jesus, may peace be upon him, was granted prophethood. He was given miracles of a nature that others have not been given. So he would, form the shape of a bird with clay and he would blow in it and it would become a real bird. That was a miracle. He would, for example, cure the dead and return them to life by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who've died and medicine has already given up hope, and here come Jesus, may peace be upon him, and he by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns those people to life. And this was a miracle. Imagine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for us to understand. So Allah says, in huwa illa abdun. Don't exaggerate when it comes to Jesus. He was only a slave of ours whom we had blessed. وَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَثَلًا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And we made him an example for the children of Israel, you know, the Jewish people. When we say here the children of Israel, this Israel that is mentioned here is not a place, it's a name of a person. So for people to say, oh, the Quran is saying that Israel belongs to the Jews, the Quran is not saying that. The Quran is saying Israel, meaning the children of Jacob. His name was Jacob. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of Joseph or Yusuf alayhi salam, he was known as Israel, Israel in Arabic. So the children of Israel here refers to the children of Jacob, Yaqub. He had 12 sons, and these were the 12 categories or 12 different clans of the Jews, the followers of Musa alayhi salam. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making it quite clear. And at the same time, Allah says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ مَلَائِكَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ يَخْلُفُونَ. Allah says, if we wished, we would have destroyed you, mankind, all, and we would have made angels replace you on earth. This is the tafsir of At-Tabari, where he says, Allah is telling us, if we willed, we could have not had you at all, O man. But we've created you in order to test you, in order to lead a life in this world according to our will. And you will understand that your life is so temporary that there has to be a deeper meaning to it than just this life. And you will understand that the life has so much of problem and turbulence and tests that you were actually created in order to go through these tests. This is what it's all about. Allah has major tests for us, and that's our heaven or our hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us pass our tests. Sometimes you have a major test. When you die, you'll be so delighted, so happy, that you actually passed it by not doing the wrong thing and just bearing patience and doing the right thing. That was your heaven. This is why we were created, in order to go through the test. So don't ever say, I don't want to have a test, because whether you say that or not, you will still go through the test. Rather, go through it with the attitude that is correct. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautifully explained it, saying that had we willed, we would have had angels instead of you, O man. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact there is another translation of the same verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if we willed, we could have made instead of you angels succeeding one another on earth. We could have made angels succeeding one another. So instead of you, O man, who came one after the other, we could have had angels who would not have even disobeyed us. And that is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. And indeed, Jesus, may peace be upon him, will be a sign for knowledge of the hour. So be not in doubt of it. And follow me. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, or Allah is saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what you should tell the people, and that is, follow me. This is the straight path. Follow me. This is the straight path. So, what is meant by indeed He, Jesus, will be a sign for knowledge of the hour? So, don't be in doubt of it. What is meant, according to the Mufassireen and according to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who understood the Quran the most, is that Jesus, may peace be upon him, will return to the earth. And this will be a sign of the hour, a sign of the closeness of the hour, the nearness of the hour. You know, my mothers and sisters, there are so many signs of the hour. Some are major and some are minor. A lot of the minor signs, in fact almost all of them, have already passed. And now we are waiting for some of the major signs. Not like we are keen, but the truth is they happen to be very, very near. And it's something we should be concerned about and worried about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Jesus, he, Isa alayhi salam, son of Maryam, shall be a known sign for the coming of the hour, the day of resurrection. Isa alayhi salam's descent on the earth. I'm reading from the translation, the Noble Quran. So it is referring to Isa alayhi salam's descent on the earth. Therefore, have no doubt concerning it, meaning the day of resurrection. And follow me. Okay. The follow me here is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you notice, the term qul is not at the beginning of the verse or the set of verses. Where Allah says qul, Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say. So it would be saying to the people. But here where Allah is saying fattabi'uni, Allah is saying follow me, meaning follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of obedience to Allah and what He orders you to do. This is the straight path, the path of monotheism, the path of worshipping Allah alone, the path of earning paradise. Then Allah says, وَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Do not let the devil lead you astray. Do not let shaitan hinder you from the straight path, from the correct religion, from monotheism, from worshipping Allah alone. Do not allow the devil to make you worship Jesus, may peace be upon him, but rather worship the creator of Jesus, may peace be upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who made Jesus, may peace be upon him, and the one who made entire creation. So immediately after making mention of Jesus, may peace be upon him, Allah is saying, be careful of the devil. He may still want you to worship gods and deities besides Allah, and he may try to justify it because of the miracles that we gave these prophets. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had miracles given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jesus, may peace be upon him, Isa alayhi salam, had miracles given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moses, Musa alayhi salam, had miracles given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That does not make them worthy of worship, but rather the one who gave them these miracles is definitely worthy of worship. So this is something Allah makes clear. Don't let the devil avert you. Instead, he is to you a clear enemy, or indeed he is to you a clear enemy. Be careful. And what has happened is the devil has indeed entrapped so many by convincing them, or by trying to convince them, that Jesus was God, or he was a part of God, or he was a part of a Trinity, or that he died for the sins of mankind, or that he was crucified, and so on. Rather, we believe that he did not die, he was not crucified, he was not harmed, he is not God, he is not the Son of God, he is not a part of God, but he is a blessed, noble, very high-ranking messenger of God. And he is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was sent to us in order to guide us, to remove us from darkness and to bring us to the light by the will of Allah. And he was granted so many miracles, and those remain miracles. They do not prove any point that he was a God, but rather the one who gave him those miracles is definitely the God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So worship Allah alone. Don't worship a part of a Trinity, and don't worship a part of creation, that which was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ عِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. And when Jesus brought clear proofs, he said, I have come to you with wisdom, meaning with prophethood, and to make clear to you some of that over which you differ. So fear Allah and obey me. So this verse is proving that Jesus did not say worship me, but he said obey me. Obey me meaning in the fact that I am asking you to worship Allah alone. Worship Allah alone. Indeed, in the next verse Allah says, Jesus said, indeed Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. This is a straight path. So these are the words also of Jesus, may peace be upon him, and many of the other messengers who happened to say that Allah is my Lord and yours, so worship Allah. You don't worship me, you don't worship a person, you don't worship the creation. And this is quite clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Jesus brought the clear proofs, what did he say? قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. I have come to you with wisdom, meaning with prophethood, these blessed words, the scripture, and to make clear to you some over which you have differed. So fear Allah and obey me. Follow what I am saying. Don't worship me. There is a difference between following someone and worshipping someone. We follow the messenger of Allah, but we don't worship the messenger of Allah. We follow the messenger of Allah, but we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is the owner of the message. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be protected from the devil and his traps. He comes to us and makes us believe things, especially when a person is in need. Then they begin to have these superstitious beliefs. Someone going through difficulty after difficulty, they're calling out to Allah for 10 years and they're not seeing any form of change in their condition. In fact, it's becoming worse. So they start going to a bearded man with a big turban, and they go to someone, perhaps in this country, people go to witch doctors or fortune tellers, that's what we would call them here. And what they would tell you, they would start saying, I know what's wrong with you. Your aunt has done something against you, or your in-laws, or, you know, the typical responses. And those are all false. They are fables. They are tales. They are all supported by the devil. And that is actually snatching your iman away, taking your belief in Allah away. If Allah wants to keep you in a condition that you might not consider positive for the rest of your life, so that is Allah. He's the owner. You need to turn to Allah and continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that the day you turn to Him, the day you return to Him, your turning to Him would have come as a blessing. The day you return to Allah, the fact that you turned to Him while you were alive
is already a blessing. And you would be so delighted to say, oh Allah, you kept me sick for 10, 20 years. You kept me not having a life that I wanted for 20 years, Ya Allah, for 30 years, Ya Allah. And now look at what you've given me in terms of reward because I was patient. May Allah grant us patience. And may Allah help us. May He never test us with tests that are too difficult for us to pass. You are hurt, you are injured. You have hurt yourself, for example, in your mouth or elsewhere. You have hurt yourself, perhaps your bones or anywhere else, perhaps suffering any form of sickness or illness. You continue making dua to Allah. You seek remedy, you seek cure within the limits of Allah. And you ask others, for example, sometime, the limit that we could go to is to say, please pray for me. But you don't pray to a person. So the person would pray for you either with you telling them or without you telling them. But you would not pray to a person or to another human being or another creature of Allah. You would continue calling out to Allah and you would consider the injury that you have suffered a blessing from Allah because it could have been worse. Perhaps Allah is saving you from something more harmful, more dangerous, something worse, something bigger. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants an expiation of some sin that we may have committed or sins that we might be committing consciously or without knowing. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept acceptance of His decree a great act of worship. So don't become depressed and stressed because that's the devil that makes you start wondering and makes your mind start wondering. And then we start turning to assistance or for assistance to that which we are not supposed to be turning towards. Something very dangerous. And this is why Allah says, don't let the devil lead you astray. Don't let the devil make you worship people. Don't let the devil make you think that Jesus was God or a part of God. Because He, Jesus, may peace be upon Him, said, indeed Allah is my Lord and He is your Lord. So worship Him. This is the straight path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. But the denominations from among them differed and they separated after Him. Subhanallah. فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. The denominations from among them differed and separated. They did not listen to the advice. They forgot. They conveniently forgot. The devil entrapped them. They did not take heed. They were not conscious of the fact that the devil is going to try and trap them. Like Allah tells us all, that in our lives, every day the devil will try and trap us in different ways. Clear your heart. Clear your acts of worship. Clean your behavior. And you know your attitude towards fellow creatures of Allah. Clean it. And make sure that you are clean in every aspect of your living. And inshallah you will then be able to enter Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so woe to those who have wronged from the punishment of a painful day. We're giving them a warning of the punishment of a painful day. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمٍ أَلِيمٍ. You know, destruction be upon them, woe be upon them. Who? Those who will be doomed to a punishment of the painful day. Allah says, الْأَخِلَّاءُ. In fact, Allah says, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةِ. What are they waiting for? Are they waiting for anything besides an hour to come upon them suddenly while they perceive not? So in their oblivion, in their games, in their playing, suddenly the hour will come. Either they die or the world ends. One of the two things have to happen. I have to die before the world ends or I have to die with the ending of the world. But I have to end as well. And a lot of us, the bulk of us, if not all of us, perhaps who are existing right now, would end before the ending of the world. None of us is going to live beyond 100 years, 200 years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us the day He takes us away. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, have hope in the mercy of Allah. That's the only option you have. Try your best, that's one thing. And have hope in the mercy of Allah, that's the second thing. And that's the only thing that we can actually do, is have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, after trying our best. So this is Allah's plan. None of us should lose hope in the mercy of Allah. He made us, He knows our weaknesses, He knows that we are just human, but at the same time He sent a message, so try following the message as best as possible. No point saying, I'm a human, I cannot adopt the Quran and the Sunnah, it's too difficult, let me carry on and I'm still going to have hope in the mercy of Allah. You cannot discard it. You have to have an intention. Moments ago, before we started the session, I spoke about how important it is to dress appropriately and to start off no matter where you are starting off. You start off with, covering your legs. MashaAllah, what a big achievement. Covering the rest of your body that you might have been exposing in the past. A huge achievement. But that's still not the ideal. So our struggle would be to try and get to the ideal. Even if we die before getting to the ideal, the fact that we were moving towards the ideal, inshallah, will be a very, very positive point. You know, it would be good enough in the eyes of Allah to have had a powerful intention, working towards the intention and then dying in the condition that that intention has not been contaminated. A person who wants to pray and his intention is to pray and begins to walk towards the masjid and dies before he's got to the masjid will have a full reward of having got to it and having prayed. Because إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ the Prophet ﷺ says, all your actions shall be judged by their underlying intentions. What a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says, هَلْ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. What are they waiting for in this life? Are they waiting for an hour or the hour to strike at them when they don't even realize, when they're not even realizing, when they're oblivious? People would die without even realizing that, you know what, we're actually going to die today or tomorrow or just now. So many have already died. People have suddenly gone. So Allah says, you'd rather prepare for that day and be prepared at all times so that no matter when it comes to you, you would be a person who would not regret. And how do you prepare for it? By turning to Allah. By planning to turn to Allah, by making the intention and working upon that intention as best as you can. So Allah says, are they waiting for that? Then Allah says something very, very serious. Something very serious.
الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين.
The closest of friends, who used to be the closest of friends in this world, on that day they will be enemies to each other, except for the righteous. Except for the righteous. Subhanallah. So those who are your best friends in this world, they will be the worst enemies on the day of judgment of yours, besides those who are righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who reminded you when you went wrong. Those who did not cheer you on when you sinned. Those who encouraged you to do good. Those whom, when you were with them, you automatically did the right things. Those are the ones who are the righteous. But as for the closest of friends, who we partied with and who we engaged in sin with and whom when we were with them we never thought of salah, whom when we were with them we never thought of dressing appropriately, whom when we were with them we never thought of worshipping Allah alone, we engaged in partying and dancing and whatever and, you know, celebrating this and that and all sorts of things that were unacceptable in Islam and nobody reminded us and people actually led us further astray. Allah says those type of closest of friends would be enemies on the day of judgment. It's only the righteous. This is why we are taught, choose righteous friends. Righteous friends. People who will remind you of goodness. People who, when salah time comes, they look at you. Even if you're sitting in a group of non-Muslim, the salah time comes and your friend looks at you and asks you, hey, can we make a plan? Let's just pray. Let's get to a little corner and let's do what we have to. Subhanallah, in, you know, public or no matter where you are, that's besides the point. But the fact is, because of your company, it was made easy for you to pray, for you to fulfill your duty unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a righteous friend. That is a good person. A person whom when you look at them, when you are with them, when you speak to them, when you interact with them, everything is a reminder of Allah. And they make you feel good. Not good because, oh, I'm a sinful person and, you know, nobody must tell me what I have to. And that's what the world is progressing towards. And that is, nobody should tell anybody what to do and what not to do. Each one must think like a monkey for himself. A'udhu billah. No way. Or when we see sinful behavior, it is beautified for us. Beautified in such a way that that's the in thing. You do that and guess what? Oh, you'll enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. What about when I die? What's going to happen? Even the atheists at the point of death are so worried about what's going to happen after that. Even if they don't admit it, they have to be worried. It's only normal and natural to be very, very worried about what's going to happen after you die. It's very, very normal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. May He calm us. May He cool us down. May He make us from amongst those who have contentment and certainty. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true belief in the life after death. Ameen. So Allah says, who are those who are righteous? Those whom Allah will say, O my servants, no fear will there be concerning you on this day, nor will you grieve. Ya ibadi, la khawfun alaykum al-yawm, wala antum tahzanun. The righteous are those whom Allah will call out to, and He will tell them, O my servants, no fear will there be concerning you on this day, nor will you grieve. Didn't I tell you moments ago that people fear when it comes to the life after death? Yes, they do. But Allah will reassure the good and the righteous by telling them, O my servants, fear not. No fear will there be concerning you on this day, nor will you grieve. And Allah says, you who believed in our verses and surrendered to our command. Now, the term surrender actually means Muslim. Islam means one who surrenders, one who submits, or submission. Islam means submission, and Muslim means one who submits. That's the connection between the two words. And Islam also means peace, and a Muslim is a person who is at peace. So basically, if you surrender and submit, you will be at peace. That's what it is. Submit to what? To Allah. He knows. You know, you, like I always give an example, you have a computer, you have a little iPhone, you have an iPad, you have a car, you have a gadget, you have anything. If you follow the instructions, you'll be able to use it, mashallah, smooth, nice. You know how it works, how it operates. But if you try and do the wrong thing, you know, in order to turn right, you have to turn the steering towards the right. If you turn it towards the left, you'll probably turn left. And if you think you're going to turn right by turning it left, you're a fool. Unless you're driving a forklift. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. I think nowadays even the forklifts, they're starting to make them differently. So you have to follow instruction. That's the point. Follow the instruction of the maker of that item, the one who invented it. And when we talk of invention of mankind, it's just changing the creation of Allah from one form to the other, and that's called invention. But man does not create from nothing. Allah is the one who creates from nothing. So when Allah has created us, it is up to Him to tell us what to do. In fact, Allah would have never created us without telling us why He has created us. It's impossible for a maker to make something without saying why He's made it, and without giving instruction. So that instruction is quite clear. Allah says, you who believed in our verses and were submitters, you were Muslim, for you no fear will there be, nor will you have to grieve. Enter paradise, you and your kinds delighted. Udkhulu al-jannata antum wa azwajukum tuhbarun. Verse number 70 is powerful, powerful. Verse number 70, Allah says, enter paradise. May Allah tell that to us. May we be from amongst those who enter paradise. So if you take a look at the Sahih International Translation, verse number 70, the term azwaj is actually translated as your kinds, right? But if you take a look at the footnote there, it says, those like you. Another meaning may be your spouses, the righteous from amongst them. So you and your spouses, you and your wives, that's one translation of it. And the other is you and those like you. So if your wives were like you in obedience of Allah, or your spouses, meaning your husbands, were like you in the obedience of Allah, then you will all be told enter paradise. And if, for example, they were not like you, then they would not be told that. Perhaps Allah will deal with them in a way that His mercy feels fit. And at the same time, what we do need to know is people who did not get along with their spouses in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are to be granted paradise as well, will definitely sort the matter out there. So this issue, we've raised it in the past, and people are definitely concerned. You know, just last night when I was speaking, I made mention of how important it is for us to work towards Jannah, and how important it is for us to be concerned about entering paradise rather than debating about what's going to be in there. Some people say, well, you know what, am I going to get my cat in paradise? A question. I love my cat so much. Is my cat going to come with me in paradise? The truth is, Allah answers the question here because, and I can tell you what some of the scholars have said, when mention was made of you entering paradise with your spouses, obviously some people didn't really get along so well with their spouses. They were just bearing sabr until the point of death, hoping that beyond death they're going to get something better. Allahu Akbar, I hope that's not the case with us, mashallah. So, subhanallah, this verse for me brings tears to my eyes. The comfort that I will be with my family in paradise, Allahu Akbar. That's the comfort it brings to me. I will be with those who are similar to me, those who deserve Jannah from amongst my family, and inshallah they will be with. And do you know what? There are certain intercessions that Allah speaks about, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us about, and we hope and pray that even sometimes those who might be sinful like us would be granted paradise through the intercession, say for example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah for that. But at the same time, for people who have the question, and that is, will I still be with the same man even in heaven? Well, that heaven would be like hell if I was with him. That's what some people might say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. So just read the next few verses and see your answer comes. What does Allah say? Allah says, enter paradise, you and your spouses. Delighted, you'll be happy. So Allah says, يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِصِحَافٍ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ. Circulated among them, meaning among the people of paradise, will be plates and vessels of gold. Something you've never seen. Not the gold of this world, but something else which will be called gold, which is far more valuable than the gold of this world. And therein, now Allah is responding that question that we asked moments ago. And therein, which means in paradise, is whatever the soul's desire and what delights the eye, and you will abide therein eternally. So which means when you get into paradise, you will have whatever your soul desires and whatever is delightful to the eye. Anything that your eye finds delightful, tasty, that your eye wishes for, it's yours. You will have it. It will be yours. How you want it, when you want it, and exactly according to your specs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. So now from this verse we understand that when you get to Jannah, if you have your spouse entering Jannah as well with you, he or she will be exactly as you want finally. Alhamdulillah. Exactly as you want, exactly looking, you know, looking as you want, speaking as you want, doing as you wish, everything will be according to your liking. Subhanallah. Now one might ask, what about my spouse? How will he think or she think? If she wants something different from me and I want something different, don't worry. The minds will be in sync according to the will of Allah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that or has allowed the minds not to be in sync, then each one will still have exactly what he or she wants. I remember once reading about Jannah and how if you want your spouse to be tall and short and one day tall, one day fat, one day thin, one day this, one day that and whatever, and a moment like this and a moment like that, you know, it will be like you're just flicking through the buttons of a screen and you know, you can see what you want. And at the same time, if the spouse would want to be themselves something else, then they would be according to what they think to themselves, because this is Allah's qudra. The small brains might not understand it. So if I want to be tall, I'll be tall. But when my wife looks at me, she'll see me short because she wanted me to be short. And I will be short to her and tall to myself. How is that possible? Let's go to heaven. Then we will see it. Let's go to Jannah. We will see it. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. So this answers a beautiful question. Allah says you will get paradise. And in paradise, مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah says you will live there eternally. And this is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take a look at the other translation that we have here. Allah says, trays of golden cups will be passed round them. There will be therein all the inner selves could desire and all that eyes could delight in. And you will abide therein forever. And here in the noble Quran, the translation of verse number 70, Allah will say, enter paradise, you and your wives, in happiness. Simple translation, mashallah. So it includes wives, anyone who does similar to you and so on. And alhamdulillah, you know, it should actually bring tears to the eyes to say, Allah will bless you such that you will not lose your loved ones in the akhirah. That's a consolation. That's something really good. Because you have children, you have parents, you have brothers and sisters, you have others, you have family members. A big question is, will I see them once I die? And here Allah is answering you to say, He will be with them. No stress, don't worry, inshallah. Just help them to do good by the will of Allah. If they have done deeds similar to yours and you've done good deeds and you deserve heaven, then they too will deserve heaven and you will meet there. And when you are there, then you will have them according to how you want. Say, for example, you see a child there in heaven. They're not going to disobey you because you get what you want. And this is why, if you want to know whether your cat is going to be there or not, quite easy. First, get to heaven. If you can still think of your cat when you're in heaven, trust me, it will be there. But if you don't think about it, don't blame me, don't blame the cat. Allahu Akbar. Don't blame anyone because you haven't thought about it. It's like sometimes you say, hey, we're going for a holiday to the Maldives and we'll message you every day, we'll send photos to you. What? You went to the Maldives, it was half like heaven. You forgot your relatives, man. 5 days later, when you caught the flight back, a week later, two weeks later, and then you started messaging people, hey, Maldives was nice. And they tell you, what happened about you sending us messages? We forgot about it. Why? Because you were busy enjoying, man. You were having, you know, honey on the moon, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with goodness in this world and the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really have mercy upon all of us. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. This is the paradise which you have been made to inherit because of your good deeds, the deeds you used to do in the life of this world. So do good deeds in the world. My mothers, my sisters, let's do as many good deeds as we can, because these good deeds will come to our rescue. Even if we've done bad deeds, the Quran tells us how to follow bad deeds with good deeds, so that the bad deeds are wiped out. And the hadith is quite clear. أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. If you have done bad deeds in the past, and you now do a lot of good deeds, the bad deeds will automatically be wiped out. If there are major sins, engage in repentance, ask Allah's forgiveness. But if they were minor sins, even without that repentance, Allah will wipe them out because of the good deeds you did thereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, and may He make us from those who repent from both major and minor sin, and may He make us from those who do good deeds. So Allah says, this is the paradise that you will inherit because of the good deeds that you did in your life. Then Allah says, لَكُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ مِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. Therein for you will be fruit in plenty, of which you will eat as you desire. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Fruit, what type of fruit, you know? Verse number 73. When I went to Malaysia, I remember them serving the durian. In fact, I was in the Philippines, and they brought it, and I almost put it to my mouth, and they told me, it tastes like heaven, but it smells like hell. Allahu Akbar, durian. And I just couldn't bring it closer. I tried, wallahi I tried, and I really tried, because they told me the texture is so nice, and the taste is so nice, and this is so beautiful. Just try it once, just block your nose. From a blocked nose, I could smell it. A'udhu billah, imagine. Blocked completely, and I could smell this, and you know, I was like, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Something, it smells like hell, tastes like heaven. And then I wondered, will there be any durian in heaven? And then I thought to myself, the same answer applies. If I get there, there'll be such beautiful fruit that I will never think of that durian again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, and may He bless us all, and may He grant us goodness in terms of fruit in the world and in the hereafter as well. Remember, one thing, and I'm going to end on this note. Whatever you think of in heaven, you will have. So don't be in doubt of that. And if someone says, oh, you're not going to get this in heaven, you're not going to get that, perhaps it's because you're never going to think about it. And with our small little minds, we look at our cats and say, don't worry, I'm definitely going to think about you. You've got no guarantee what type of mind you're going to have, you know. Perhaps you'll see some different type of a pet there, and your cat will have been by the way, and you can just say, sorry cat, that's if you even think of it. So this is why we say, don't underestimate heaven. A lot of us become agitated by the thought of what we might not get in heaven, not realizing that first tackle the issue of getting to heaven, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us get to heaven, inshallah, to Jannah. May He grant that to us all. May He forgive us our sins. And may He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really grant every single one of the members of the Ummah Jannah. May He guide those who are not on the straight path to the straight path. And may He grant us all Jannah. We should have such a clear heart that we should pray for Jannah for every single person. May Allah bless that, bless us with that. And may He grant that to us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahu bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.